Old Testament reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness, where there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food?" Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit them, so that many people of Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince or power of the air, spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before him that we should walk in. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of our only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. People love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light, so that it may be seen clearly that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not exactly sure why this is the case, but saying that God works through means is often the hardest part of a basic Lutheran, and not even Lutheran, just a basic Christian doctrine. So, first, I want to define by what "by means" means. And that's easiest comparing it to what we all think we wish that God would do all the time: act immediately. God acting immediately would be sending a global flood. God acting immediately is a flash of blinding light that knocks you off your ride on the Damascus Road. Because of the modern charismatic or Pentecostal movement, I think we've gotten a domesticated view, a safe view of God's immediate action. Even if we aren't personally charismatic, God working immediately is miraculous healing, a vision of a past beloved, or someone speaking in tongues. We never consider that God acting immediately could be Sodom and Gomorrah, or sending venomous snakes. God acting immediately is that lightning bolt from heaven. And he does occasionally do this. And you'll know when he does. When the final trumpet blows, you will not need to ask, is Christ returning? Because you will know. You won't have to think twice. But most of the time, God acts through means. And the universal means are water and the Word. When we baptize someone, we don't see the Spirit's entry, but that is exactly what God has promised in those waters. Baptism now saves you, is what St. Peter says. Christ tells us to make disciples by baptizing all nations. Promise of God and the power and work of God are present, but they work through the means of the water. Power and work of God is done by the water according to his word. The specific means, meaning for the baptized people of God, are bread and wine. Jesus tells us that this bread and wine are his body and blood, and that these are given for us for the forgiveness of sins. This is the power and the work of God to sustain his people in this world. It's the fulfillment of that manner. We think we would like the ability to call down fire from heaven upon our enemies, that this would sustain us better. But God has given us bread and wine. These are the means that God has promised to work through. God keeps his promises. God can also work through other means. Many of you were probably brought to the faith in baptism by the means of your parents. Jesus didn't appear to you in a vision. Your mother brought you to Sunday school. Your father forced you to memorize the catechism. Paul tells us that Caesar, or the state, is God's means of avenging the wrongdoer. Parents and states can also be terrible and work contrary to God. That might be why God chose water, bread, and wine to be the means of his greatest promises. They are so simple and direct. But the fact that we live in a sinful world, that we ourselves are sinful, doesn't mean that God isn't acting through people and events for the good of his called people. There's something in the modern mind that recoils this. It could be a crude scientism. If I can't put it on a lab bench and dissect it and see God working directly, he's obviously not there. That might be the extreme of philosopher Charles Taylor's concept of a buffered self. The crude acolyte of scientism has so buffered themselves from the world, visible and invisible, that we live in it, but yet they refuse to account for the things that actually move us. Like love. Not something that you will find dissecting. But where the pre-modern world was porously open to seeing the acts of God behind everyday events, most of us safely exclude God from the everyday affairs, large and small. We have become secular in our buffet. Coincidences are just that. They are no longer acts of providence, the means of God getting his people's attention. But let's put aside the philosophy and the doctrine for a little bit and turn to our text. This episode takes place rather late in Israel's 40 years of wilderness wandering. Aaron, Moses' brother, and the first high priest has already died. They are on their way to the promised land for the second time, and they are still grumbling. God has been acting immediately for them for decades, sending the manna and the quails and bringing water from the rock. Yet Israel's complaint is, why have you taken us from Egypt? There is no food or water, and we loathe this worthless food. Israel didn't appreciate it. In fact, they rejected God's immediate, direct providence. And in that rejection, they get his direct judgment. The Lord sent fiery serpents amongst his people. We think we want the immediate action of God. But the Bible doesn't really think much of it. The flood didn't prevent the Tower of Babel almost immediately. The miracles that Jesus performed constantly didn't convince the people. The manna did not satisfy the heart of Israel. But the judgment of those snakes does do two things. First, the people repent. And notice how they do so. They go to Moses. You, Moses, be our mediator. Moses, be our means. Pray to the Lord that he might take the serpents away from us. And God tells Moses to create a visible sign, a means of God's mercy. The bronze serpent. Raise it up. And everyone who looks upon it will live. God doesn't immediately remove the snakes. Israel has to live the results of their sins for a bit. But the means of their deliverance was in their midst. God works through means. Through the means of the words of the prophet, and through the means of the sign in their midst upon which God has made a promise. Pause for a moment to imagine the initial responses when they heard this. But Moses, the last time we made a golden image, it didn't go so well for us. Didn't you give us a commandment not to make graven images? Come on, Moses, an image of a snake? We've got real snakes. Why are you giving us a fake one? But the snakes aren't going away, Moses. Tell God to take the snakes away. Probably only seeing that it worked, they accepted it. Now, in Jesus, We have the perfection, the fulfillment of the type. The evangelist John records Jesus telling us that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The fulfillment, the perfection, surpasses the original in one great way. The original granted a continued normal life. This lifted up Son of Man on that cross grants eternal life. Just as anyone who looked at the bronze serpent was healed, this cross pays for the sins of the world. Promises of God are true. But just as Israel looked at that raised serpent and had to recognize their sin that brought the snakes to them, we look at this raised innocent man and recognize the sin that we have done this. And repentance itself is an act of faith. Without faith in the goodness and mercy of God and his promises, why would we look at this symbol? Why would Israel look at that serpent? We wouldn't. But by faith, we look at that cross and see not our judgment, but we see our deliverance. By faith, we see the love of God for the world. He would send his only Son. God keeping his promises that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. God continues to work in the midst of his people by means. They are given to us as means of faith. God's promises are set amongst us. Here is the body and blood of Christ. It's as if we were looking at the cross itself. There are a couple of ways, I think, that we retreat from the purpose of this faith. The first is when we retreat back into that buffered self. When we doubt what God says this is. Come on, it's just bread and wine. How could such simple water do such things? Power, of course, is not in the bread and wine, but it's in the promises of God in his word. The power isn't in the water, but it's in the water combined with the word. And that word promises that these are the means of God's grace for you. They are how God has made himself present to us. If we don't recognize the body of Christ, we are just like Israel rejecting God's work in our midst, turning towards judgment. So believe the promises and live. What happens to this bronze serpent eventually, though, warns us of another way. I think we can lose faith in these means. It's a quick note in 2 Kings 18. All the way much later in time in King Hezekiah's day, Israel still has this bronze serpent. They had set it up with the Asherah poles and the Baals in the high places. It had become a talisman, an act of magic. Instead of a sign of faith in the goodness of the Word of God, it had turned into a mechanism of magic to try and manipulate God. If your faith moves from the God who promises to to the objects, to the means themselves. You're practicing magic. Hezekiah takes down the bronze serpent and destroys it. The sacraments themselves are not to be destroyed, but neither are they to become objects of worship. When the means become more important than the God act, something has gone wrong. So today, God acts through means. Through his presence under bread and wine and in the water, he works in our lives in this body of Christ. And today, all of these means are necessary. But on the final day, those means will be put away. Because Jesus himself on that final day will be with his people. Today, God works through means to enable our faith, which saves us. Tomorrow, we will have faith's fulfillment. Amen.